Let us pray. Almighty God, whose Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, is the light of the world, grant that your people, illumined by your word and sacraments, may shine with the radiance of Christ's glory, that he may be known, worshipped, and obeyed to the ends of the earth. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns one God, now and forever. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. A young boy was being interviewed on the Johnny Carson show. And as Carson questioned the boy, it became apparent to him and to the audience that the young man was a Christian. So Johnny asked him if he attended Sunday school. When the boy said he did, Johnny inquired, What are you learning? Well, last week, the boy replied, our lesson was about when Jesus went to a wedding and turned water into wine. The audience roared with laughter, but Carson tried to keep a straight face. Then he asked the boy, And what did you learn from that story? The boy squirmed a little in his chair. It was obvious he hadn't thought about this, but then he broke into a smile and said, If you're going to have a wedding, make sure you invite Jesus. Now, a lot of jokes have been made over the years about Jesus' first miracle at Cana of Galilee. I'm reminded of the first century hipster who went up to Jesus after the miracle occurred to ask about what kind of yeast Jesus used in the fermentation process. And of course, Rowan Atkinson, the actor famously known for playing Mr. Bean, had a well-known skit where he plays an Anglican vicar who shares a little bit more about what took place behind the scenes. Here, Atkinson shares a story that the servants thought Jesus was really good at magic tricks and thought he should play to a bigger audience in Jerusalem. You see, the world looks at Jesus' first miracle, and it doesn't know what to make of it. And so all kinds of jokes are made to belittle it or to make it smaller. But this miracle was the first of several signs pointing to who Jesus is, the master of the feast, through whom new creation comes. Now, weddings are more than just happy affairs. I know that from personal experience because I've done a lot of them. But they are also supposed to be joyful ones. But to the Jewish people, wine symbolized joy. To the Jewish rabbis, they had a saying that said this, without wine, there is no joy. I tend to agree with them. But the setting we are diving in today finds us at a wedding where the wine has run dry. There simply is no more to drink. The joy had run out. And the master of ceremonies seems to have dropped the ball. How could the wedding planner let something like this occur? But the true master of the feast steps in to provide joy in abundance. Jesus provides new wine that does not disappoint. This morning, let us see the sign of this miracle and how it points to the glory of the cross, to the glory of new creation, and to our own transformation. Let us see the master of the feast. So if you'd like to follow along, we'll be beginning at John chapter 2, verse 1, found on page 638. Now John starts off Jesus' first miracle in the Greek saying this, on the third day. On the third day. At the beginning of this book, this wonderful book, that's John's gospel, we see John taking us all the way back to creation itself. And so we have to look at day 3 of creation in Genesis 1. And this is where we see the pre-incarnate Christ speaking creation into existence. He calls forth dry land. He calls forth plants and vegetation. Vegetation that would bring forth fruit. Even wine, fruit of the vine. This is incredibly important because the one who spoke at creation is the very one who speaks at this wedding. Jesus brings forth the new wine of his kingdom because he is the true master of the feast. So keep this imagery of the third day in mind because we'll return to it. Now the village of Cana was about 4 miles northeast of Nazareth, Jesus' hometown. Not too bad of a walk. Jesus' mother Mary was there at the wedding, and Jesus and his disciples were also invited. And this is key, because some scholars suggest this may imply that their attending the wedding celebration was a last-minute and unexpected thing. But Jewish weddings then were not like our weddings today. They lasted for several days, sometimes even up to a week. Just imagine what that would be like in our day. Talk about an open bar for 7 days. And there would be a procession from the bride's house to the groom's house. The father of the bride would bring the daughter to the home of the bridegroom, and the entire village would have been there for the festivities. But although the family was meant to supply most of the wine, guests were also expected to BYOW, bring your own wine. And that's my kind of party. But the unexpected happens. The wine runs out. The joy is gone. And for this to happen, it would have brought huge embarrassment and shame to the host family. So this is where Mary enters the scene. Mary comes to Jesus. But why does she come? She may have had a lead catering role to play. Maybe Jesus and his friends didn't bring any wine of their own if they were last-minute guests. Who knows? Nevertheless, we see in Mary a model for intercessory prayer. She goes up to Jesus, and she says, "They have no more wine." And Jesus responds like this. He says, "Woman, what is there between you and me?" In other words, what do you and I have in common? This is not the response that any of us were looking for, I'm sure. Jesus follows this up with, "My time has not yet come." Now, I once called my mom woman once. Once. She said, "Scott, I need you to take out the trash." I said, "Woman, what does that have to do with you and me?" That's right, I said it. She replied, "And when you're done with that, empty the dishes." And I said, "Woman, my time has not yet come." And there was this pregnant pause. And then, "Don't ever call me woman again." And I hollered back, "I'm just doing what Jesus did with his mom." And she retorted, "Yeah, but Jesus' mom didn't know karate." Now, at first glance, Jesus' words seem harsh in our English language. Yet woman here is not negative or demeaning, but extremely formal, implying that there's some kind of distance between Jesus and Mary. Jesus uses the same term again with Mary when he's on the cross, when he says, "Woman, here is your son." He's not pointing to himself. He's pointing to John, the beloved disciple. But at Cana of Galilee, even before the first miracle happens, what we see here is that Jesus' hour is the focus. He has come to be lifted high on the cross. He has come to be the master of the feast. And the feast that he offers is himself. And he offers that feast for you and for me and for the life of the world. That is why he has come. But like any true intercessor, Mary leaves the request in the hands of the master. And she tells the servants, "Do whatever he tells you. Do whatever he tells you." And these are the last recorded words we ever have of Mary. And I think they are most fitting for us to take to heart even today. Do whatever he tells you. Do whatever he tells you. Why? Because he is master of the feast. On the third day, John writes, this miracle occurs. This is not just to propel us back to the 6 days of creation, particularly day three, but also to propel us forward to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. You see, the power of new creation is here, at this wedding. Let us dig in deeper and see it and grasp its relevance for us. Because standing nearby were 6 stone water jars. Used for Jewish ceremonial washing. They were for wash water. And they would have been made of limestone, something that we know all too well in our own geography, but northern part of Israel is all limestone, just like our hill country. That's what it looks like. And Jesus tells the servants, "Fill these jars with water." And each jar would have held somewhere between 20 to 30 gallons of water. They aren't little wine goblets. They're not little pitchers here. They are filled to the max, filled to the brim. And when all 6 are filled, Jesus says, "Now dip some out and take it to the master of ceremonies." So the servants do exactly that. And when the master of ceremonies tastes the new wine, he calls the bridegroom over and basically says, "Wowzers! This stuff is phenomenal. What is this, a Cab Franc? A host always serves the best wine first. Then when everyone has a lot to drink, he brings out the cheap stuff. But you... You have kept the best until now. But just how much new wine did Jesus make? You ever sat up at night and wondered about this? Enough to fill 1,000 wine bottles. 1,000 bottles of wine. Talk about starting a boutique winery. But why so much, Scott? Because Jesus is the master of the feast, and when he throws a party, man, it's thrown in abundance. This is the hope of new creation. This is the joy that our master brings. He is the new wine that has been held back, but now would be given. And given in abundance, and our joy would be complete. This is the first of several signs in John's gospel that reveal Jesus' glory. And here, we are meant to stop. Stop. Jeff Strike shares a story about the Chicago suburb of Oak Lawn. The city had a problem. Motorists weren't coming to a complete stop at stop signs. So in 2007, the mayor came up with a creative solution. He added a second, smaller octagonal sign to the town's 50 or so stop signs that read, "Stop and smell the roses." Stop. No, really, you got to stop. Stop, or I'm going to tell your mama. Stop, in the name of love. You get the idea, and the thing is, it worked. It actually worked. People actually stopped at the stop signs. The additional signs were so humorous, people laughed and obeyed them. And everyone was pleased, except the Illinois Department of Transportation, which deemed the signs violations of the Federal Uniform Traffic Control Act. See, the government always has to get involved, doesn't it? They threatened to withhold funds if the signs weren't removed. And unfortunately, the mayor had to comply. The world doesn't want to stop at this stop sign that is Jesus' first miracle. It pokes fun at it. It jests with jokes like this. "Hey, Jesus, that was amazing how you turned water into wine over there. Could you change these sticks into a set of bath towels? Because I forgot to bring a gift." This is what the world says. But you and I are meant to stop, for this is surely a sign indeed for all of us. Because you and I are like these stone jars of washed water. In our human plight, we are one thing. Only by the work of Jesus are we transformed into a new creation. And the water in these jars are to wash on the outside. You see, human effort of striving won't get you and I very far. Man looks at the outward appearance of striving, of checklist, of do this and don't do that. But God looks at the heart. And Jesus brings forth new wine that we must be filled with. It is a gift of grace, lest anyone be able to boast. And this is why all must come to the master of the feast. There is only one source for this new wine. His name is Jesus. The one who spoke at creation on the third day brings forth the joy of new creation, for he was raised on the third day. God saw the end from the beginning. Death would not be the final word. You see, Jesus' hour did come. He was raised on a tree. He was pierced and crushed for our transgressions, and blood and water flowed from his very flesh. You see, he long knew of his hour, the hour of his glory, the glory of the cross. And he knew that he would give us this feast that he commanded to remember of his great sacrifice. For Holy Communion is a feast. Make no mistake. Jesus most certainly is the host of it and the master of it. And the bishop or the priest who presides over this feast is called the celebrant. And that should give us all a clue that this is a celebration. For this feast remembers and it proclaims Christ's death until he comes again. And Jesus will indeed come again. because on the third day, he was raised from the dead. Amen? Hallelujah. New creation cannot be held back. Just like the wine would not be held back. New creation cannot be held back, not even by death. It's already broken into our world, and it continues to break into our world until he makes all things new. This master of the feast wants you and me to know that he is coming. He is on the way. And every time we come to his table, we are reminded of the great wedding feast of the Lamb that is to come in Revelation. That's one reason why the Lamb of God is on our altar. You may have trouble seeing it behind all the red flowers there. But it's there. Take my word for it. This miracle at Cana of Galilee points to who Jesus is, the master of the feast. So you and I bring all of our history to this table, all of our dirty washed water. And he brings his new wine of joy, which transforms us and fills us up and never, ever runs dry. Amen? Amen. My friends, only Jesus can bring transformation because he is the true vine. He is the source, the only source of it all. And his new wine continues to flow into us to bring us his joy and the joy of his eternal, unshakable kingdom. Yet so many Christians look as if they're like Ebenezer Scrooge. Humbug! They come forward and they receive the bread and the wine. And where's the joy? It's like they're in a funeral procession, man. It's a feast, my brothers and sisters. Last night the vestry feasted together. That was another symbol of the wedding feast to come. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. It's a feast. It's a celebration. And C.S. Lewis came to the table in awe and wonder. And so many other countless saints throughout the two millennia of the church. So should we. We should be thankful. We should be joyful. We should celebrate. For once we were stone jars of wash water. Dirty wash water. I once went to a microbrew in New Braunfels, and the beer tasted like wash water. That's what we tasted like once. We tasted like this awful beer that came out of this place in New Braunfels. It was awful. But now we have been transformed, filled to the brim, to the very tippy top with new wine. New life has come into us so the world may see our transformation and give God the glory. New life has come into us so that we too may be signs that call people to stop and fathom the glory of Christ. New life has come into us by the one through whom creation came into being and the one through whom new creation comes, and his name is Jesus. So blessed are they who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. Blessed are they who are transformed by the master of the feast. Let us pray. Almighty God, in Christ you make all things new. Transform the poverty of our nature by the riches of your grace, and in the renewal of our lives, make known your heavenly glory through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.